Good morning. Good morning. Can we stand and we celebrate Jesus this morning? Anybody excited to be in church this morning? Anybody excited? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Anybody excited about Jesus this morning? Amen. So this first song just says that we serve a God who is the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Does anybody believe that? No, do you really believe that? That the God you serve is going to stay the same and he's never going to change?
Jacob,
yeah.
Whose love endures for generations. I know that you will keep your covenant. I'm calling on the God Moses, the one who opened up the ocean.
God, my God, I need you now more than ever. We still need you. We still need you. We still need you. God, we still need you. We still need you. God, we still need you.
You need his spirit, it is always the same. It's always consistent. And here's another thing I love about him. He's consistent even when we're not. He is faithful even when we are not. I don't know about you guys, but I can think about a lot of moments and times where I needed the Lord, but was either too prideful or too lost in my own mess to even ask for the help. But this morning, I want to encourage us all to just lift our hands and say, God, we need you. God, we need you. God, we need you every moment. God, we need you every hour. God, it's not another second that we can go by without your presence. God, it's not another moment that we can exist without your glory raining on us. So, Father, we're asking now for the river of God to flow. We're asking now for your spirit to break out in a way that we've never seen before. I dare you this morning, can you just lift up your own song to God? Even if singing is not your thing, if it's not something you're accustomed to, he enjoys his praises of his people. The Bible tells us that he even inhabits the praises of his people. So whatever that sounds like for you, whatever that looks like for you, can you just lift it up to our King this morning?
Father, we need you. We stand in awe of you. You are great and you are holy. We need you. God, we need you. Yes, Lord, we need you. You are faithful. Holy Spirit, feel us.
That you have. How are you fighting those battles? On your knees, praying to the one that can get you through it. Don't fight those battles alone. Fight them in the presence of God, talking to Him every day, feeling His presence, knowing that He's there.
This is how I fight. look like you're surrounded, but who are you surrounded by? I want to hear it from your mouth. Who are you surrounded by? Amen, amen. It may look like I'm surrounded. You know, Pastor and I were listening to that song this week. We enjoyed listening to that song in the car. And I said to Pastor, where's this come from? Where's this come from? Well, you know, when you get things mixed up like I do sometimes, I said, it comes from Elisha, S-H. He said, no, it comes from Elijah. I said, no. So then I got him mixed up and he got me mixed up. So you know what we did? We went to Google. Then we went to the Bible. Now we knew that it was in Kings. But interesting enough, it hit me this morning when I sat on the pew that the difference between the two and trying to keep those separated. But I want you to listen to Kings, 2 Kings 6. Says God provides an army of angels leading horses and chariots of fire to protect the prophet Elisha and his servant, and opens the servant's eyes so that he can see the angelic army surrounding them. Now, let me just tell you this. There is Elijah, and there is Elisha, S-H, standing there with the Syrian army around them, surrounded, he and his servant. And his servant, Gehazi, looks at him and says, what are we going to do? Come on, women. What do you do when you're in a mess? You ask your husband, what are we going to do? When you're in a business, you ask your business co-workers, what are we going to do? When you're in the frustrations, when you're in the line of fire, what are we going to do? That's our human nature to say, what are we going to do? And I love this. Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had prayed. Isn't this amazing how God fights our battles? Sometimes it's in the things that we don't even think would work. But do you know that God has to open your eyes to see so you can see he's fighting your battles? When you can see that he's fighting your battles, some of us need to pray, God, open my eyes because I want to see those angels that you've encamped around me that are fighting for me. I want to see the things that I cannot see in the human eyesight, but I want to see them in the spiritual eyesight. There used to be an old song, rose-colored glasses. We don't need rose-colored glasses. We need to pray and ask God, open our eyes that we see. Give us a spirit of thanksgiving to thank you through these hardships, to thank you through the times that I'm surrounded by negativity, that I'm surrounded by financial concerns, that I'm surrounded by family issues. Do you have anything like that going on in your life today? Health issues. Are you feel like you're surrounded? Do you feel like you're sinking, but you're not? You pray today, God, you open my eyes like you did Elisha's servant. Open my eyes to see what you've encamped around me, the things that you're going to use to pull me through this, the way that you're going to fight for me, God. Pull me through with your help, with eyes opened to the spirit realm. Can you do that today? Let's sing that again, Holly. Do that today as she sings this again.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm surrounded by you. Sometimes you've just gotta state it. You know, you read it in the Bible and you say, this is good. And in your private times, you say, oh yeah, I get this. I get this. But when you're riding down the road and you're feeling like you're surrounded, you need to state it. It may seem like I'm surrounded, but Jesus, I'm surrounded by you. I'm surrounded by your provision. I'm surrounded by your protection. I'm surrounded by you, Lord, who loves me, who gave his life for me, who saves me. I don't hear anybody that's getting morning. Somebody ought to be hollering something good today. You are surrounded. Amen. We are not defeated. We're surrounded. When we walk in that way, it's giving us strength. It's encouraging our spirit, but it's also a model for those around us. Don't you know that your coworkers know you're going through a hard time? Don't you know your family knows you're going through a difficult time? Don't you know that people around you hear things? This is a small town. But when they see your countenance, when they hear from your voice, God is with me. He's going to bring me through this. And they see on you the joy of the Lord, the spirit of peace, then it's a testimony. It's a testimony. Let's live in that today. Let's determine today to pray, God, open my eyes to see you. Open my eyes to see all that you're doing in my life. Open my eyes to give thanks. Open my eyes to receive healing. Open my eyes, Lord, to be determined in you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. You are so good to us. You're the same God. You're the same God that Corey sang about. You're the same God that Elisha said, open his eyes that he can see. You're the same God that did it for those. You're the same God that does it for us. Lord, we give you praise. We give you honor. You surround us with your spirit, with your peace, with decisions, Lord, the right decisions, with provision, with changes that are to come. And Lord, in this season, Lord, let us not forget that you're fighting our battles for us. We give you praise. We give you honor. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So good to see you, Carpenter Shop Church. So good to see you. And if you're a guest with us today, We hope that you'll stop by the Welcome Center in the foyer. We have a small gift for you. Just like to connect with you, get some information, and also let you know other things that are going on this week, this month at Carpenter Shop Church. And it's just wonderful to be able to come on Wednesday night. I enjoy Wednesday night Bible study. Ladies, if you're not there, you need to get there. You can catch up. But we are learning about Elijah with a J. And I was speaking of Elisha this morning. But it's interesting, the connection that you have when you get in that small group of people, that you can freely open up and share and support one another. And actually, this week, the ladies taught our lesson before the lesson was taught. And it blessed me. It blessed me because I said, this is what small group is all about. The connection with one another, encouraging, uplifting, sharing testimonies. And then, of course, the Bible study time. So if you're not connected, make sure Pastor Blow, Mike Blow, has a, what's the name of his? Foundations study going on in the Family Life Center. The women have one, Stacy, and also youth and children all upstairs. So make sure you get connected. Make sure you get your kids and youth connected. It's good to see you this morning. At this time, we're going to worship in giving. You can come bring your tithes, offerings up to the front and lay it in the buckets.
We believe in God to break some chains today. Hallelujah. How many of us need chains broken? Hallelujah. It's something about the name Jesus. When you release that name, things change. Hallelujah. We believe in God for a change today, spiritually. Hallelujah. And in every way.
to break.
Break every chain.
The chain of fear.
Break every chain.
The chain of disease.
Break every chain.
To break every chain.
To break every chain. Break every chain. To break every
bless the Lord this morning. Come on, bless him in this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for breaking chains. Thank you, Lord, for victory today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You can be seated. I was standing there worshiping, and I had a little flashback of a period of my life where I was a student. It's been a long time ago, walking the campus of NC State University. I had a bicycle. I rode. I didn't mind riding downhill, but uphill was tough. Come on. Anybody been near the campus of NC State? There's hills back there. I lived 3207 and a half Bedford Avenue. $65 a month was my rent. I know, I'm 62. It's okay. All right. $65 a month I stayed with in one bedroom, and I had a third shelf refrigerator privileges in Miss Margaret's refrigerator. And of course, I had a bathroom. I went in and out the back door. She was from Canada. Amen. And she put an ad in the Baptist Church bulletin that one of my friends saw, contacted my parents, said, "Hey, Wallace, need a room? $65 a month." So that was my rent when I was a student at NC State. The bad thing is that where I lived, positioned near Forest Hills Baptist Church, was right behind Hillsborough Street. And Hillsborough Street was where you did your stuff. My apartment lounge, Zach's Grocery, that was the preppy place when the alligator came out on the sweater. Come on. And it was party time all the time. And the phone would ring. I had phone privileges. "Hey, what you doing?" "Studying for a test, man." "Hey, they got 10-cent draft down at Edwards Grocery." Stroh's. And I'd make my way down there, Corey. Every time the phone rang, every time there was an invitation for sin, I took it. And I didn't have to worry about a DUI because I was on a bicycle and walking. What I had to worry about was finding my way back home. And sometimes I didn't until a long time, because I would get in a situation where I was out of control. But I remember the day when the Lord broke the chain that alcohol had on me. Amen? Break every chain. I remember the day when the chains of alcoholism were broken, and I didn't have to worry about that anymore. Amen? I had purpose. I had vision. I had a goal for my life. I had a girlfriend. Come on. Amen. She was responsible for leading me in paths of righteousness. Amen. I'd come home on the weekend, and she'd want to go to church. Church like this. Some of you may have wandered in here and think, "Man, you know what? My church isn't like this." How many of y'all would just be willing to say, "You know, where I've been going to church is not like this morning"? Come on, just raise your hand. Anybody? God bless you. It's the third of you. "Where I've been going to church is not like this." We desire, somebody say desire, we desire an open atmosphere, an open heaven, where God by His Spirit can help us. Thank you, Pastor Joy, for those words of encouragement. Help us to know that God is for us. Thank you, Corey, for you guys just nailed my sermon today. Thank you for the words that you shared about, you know, the persistency and failure sometimes. Here I am, Lord, I'm stuck again. And because that's exactly what we're going to talk about today. There is a path. Somebody say path. There is a path to victory. Amen? There's a path to victory. There's a path to revival in your life where you don't have to struggle as much as you have been. Man, I remember walking out of that bar so many times frustrated, because then I forsook the test. And the grade that I got 2 days later showed that. If I'd have only stayed where I was and studied, I might have passed. And I just got tired of losing. I had very few wins. I would pay people to lie for me in class. I remember taking a veterinary class at NC State that I never attended. I paid a guy to go and check the block for me, take the test for me. That was a deceptive life, but I was locked into that lifestyle that just couldn't get free. And then there came a time where the Lord broke the chains. And when He did, man, whom the Son set free is free indeed. Amen. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. So I don't know if you have been paying attention to what we've been talking about since the first part of the year. I have. I've been tracking what the Lord is saying on this download. of messages that he's given to me. I'm going to speak today a message that I've simply titled Consecration, the Door to Revival. Consecration, the Door to Revival. My first message to us in January was one that I entitled Focus. Remember? Forward movement, opposing spirits, celebrated wins. You know, God wants you to have wins. You're not going to get it right all the time. Come on, punch your neighbor and say, he's talking about you now. You're not going to get it right all the time. You're not. You're going to have those moments where you make a mistake or you fail or you fall backwards a couple of steps. Like, man, what am I doing here? Why did I say I'd come? You know, you're gonna find yourself in those places and you're going to know it. And the reason you know it, that's the beautiful part of what we call conviction. Conviction brings you. The Spirit of God touches you and causes you to begin to be unsettled. Thank God for conviction. But the Lord understands where you are. That's the part of the focus. He knows every step you take. He knows every place that you go. And then he wants to give you, here we go, spiritual empowerment to live in victory and not defeat. That's what the Lord is going to say to us today. He's going to give us spiritual empowerment to live in victory and not defeat. Then Pastor Bernie came along. There was a week I was away, and he laid a layer of wisdom on what God was saying, and he spoke a message to you about endurance and the sometimes that you may just simply have to back up and punt. And all of us have been there. All of us have had, you know, no other. You can't score now, so you just got to back up and just punt the ball away. And try it again the next time you get it. And the next, I brought you a message beginning talking about the presence of God. Remember that? The presence of God, the Shekinah glory. Shekinah, we learned, is not in the Bible. But the aspect of it is. We talked about the Shekinah glory. And we talked about the manifest presence of God. Looking at historical benchmarks in the history of the church of how God moved by His Spirit. We went back to Azusa Street that day, you know, over 100 years ago. And we talked about how Moses found himself at a place where he would go up to the mountain of Sinai and 2 million plus people down around that mountain looking at their leader receiving a download from the Lord. We call it the Ten Commandments. He received the law. The cloud hovered. The cloud of God's presence manifested on his life. And he gives the Lord gives him directions. And then God sends the Spirit to Jesus. Jesus takes the Spirit. He sends it back to the earth when Jesus goes away. He said, I got to go. It's expedient that I go. Because if I don't go, then the Spirit, somebody say the Spirit. The Spirit that guides you. The Spirit that wants to guide you. The Spirit that leads you. The Parakletos in the original language. The one called alongside you. To help you. Riding shotgun. Holy Ghost. Come on. All right? That's the principle. I know we get confused sometimes. Father, he's the gray-haired guy. He's the older one sitting in the chair. And then at the right hand of the Father is the Son, Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit is that little cloud. Remember when your Sunday school teacher used to stick flannel graph up there on the board? How many of y'all worked with flannel graph? Come on. You stuck it up there on the board. That was that little cloud that you didn't know what to do with. Don't know how to describe it. That's what we're talking about, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who's called alongside you, who, here we go, comes in you when you accept Christ. When you receive Christ, the Spirit of God comes inside of your life. I don't care if you shook a preacher's hand at the altar, you heard your heart beating real fast, you moved toward the front, you confessed that you were a sinner. That was the day. Job said it like this, hearken unto me, O my children, I'll teach you the fear of the Lord. That was the day that the Lord began to knock on your heart and teach you about how he communicates. You felt the need to go forward through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Spirit of God. He's the helper. He's the one called alongside. He's the one that can help you say, no, not going to do that anymore. He's the helper. Interesting, interesting concept. Releasing the power of God. We did a message on Jesus heals. and we saw people get healed. Then we talked about the releasing the power of God for the last 2 weeks. We talked about releasing the power of God through the Word of God, through a prophetic act of faith, through the point of touch, when we touch someone like Jesus did, and we pray a prayer of faith. We talked about the release of the presence of God last week through compassion and through forgiveness. We talked about how, you know, release the presence of God just like we've had it happen here today. The worship team released the presence of God into this room in a powerful way. And we talked about compassion. We talked about releasing the presence of God last week through forgiveness. How you can literally stop the presence of God from working in your life by carrying a grudge, by not forgiving someone. But when you forgive, you release the presence of God to work in your life. And then finally, through unity, of which you are a tremendous example. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Unity is a powerful thing. And you know, you and I are the church. Here's a word. Sounds like you're speaking in tongues, but you're not. Ecclesia. This is the word in the Bible for church. Ecclesia. If you listen to me very long, I'm gonna preach, teach, okay? I'm not here to swing the chandeliers and scream and holler, okay? Although I might do that occasionally, okay? But if you sit under the ministry here, you're going to learn some Bible, okay? The word ecclesia means the church. It means what? The called out ones. You're a member of the called out ones because of that day that the Holy Spirit touched your life and you did take a walk down the aisle. You did bow your head and say, Lord, help me. You did pray a sinner's prayer. Because of that, you're a part of the called out ones. You are set apart. You're set apart. And thankfully so, because you live in a chaotic world right now. You live in a very toxic culture right now who needs something wholesome, who needs something solid. Never, ever before has the earth needed a touch of God more than it needs now. Ecclesia, that New Testament word for church. Church. Amen. Whatever way you say it. I love those people from Nigeria who talk about the church. Amen. The church. The church, the ecclesia. Look at God's description, here we go, of you. God is now getting ready to say something through the lips of Peter about you. Say, he's talking about me. He says, 1 Peter 2, 9 to 12, but you are a what? Chosen people. He's talking about you now. Those of you who are saved, those of you who took the journey to Christ. You're a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are God's special possession. That you may declare the praises, here we go, of Him who called you out of darkness. That's where the word church comes from, okay? He called you out of that lifestyle. That's why you have to ask yourself the question, listen, if I'm into church, but I'm still into life. Oh, Lord. I'm in the church, but I'm still in the lifestyle. Or are you in the church? You might be in the building, but are you in the kingdom? You might be in the building, but are you in the family? Because if you march to the beat of two drums, you're confused. You know what I've learned about young people? They want truth. I'm not here to beat folk over the head. I'm not here to hammer you with the Word of God and King James. I'm here to tell you the truth. If you live a life that is on both sides, you go through every week of your life misery moments. You know why I know that? I speak from experience because I did it. How many of y'all did that before where you were on both sides? Yeah, you speak from experience. So listen, half the church raised their hand because you're kind of on one side or the other. Michael Faraday was a scientist, and he was a very brilliant man. I read this many, many years ago. He's a very brilliant man, and he saw a young boy running a newspaper route. That was one of a job that a lot of us had, tossing newspapers. And he saw a boy. How many of you all ever did a newspaper route? Anybody besides me? Do you remember, Lewis, when you tried to cheat, you know, and just kind of not get off your bike, but just kind of shoo, and chunk it, And most of the time, somebody say most of the time it did land where you wanted it. And you go, yes. But there were days when the paper didn't land exactly where you want. And you had to make a decision right then. Do I stop and go back? And I did that. And most of the time, I just decided to keep on going, okay? And if the paper got wet, hey, I'm sorry, Miss Jones. I'm sorry. I threw it on the porch. Well, it wasn't on the porch when I picked it up. Michael Faraday watched the newspaper boy one day. And he tried to not go inside the gate. She had a little wrought iron fence. And he tried to not go in there. And it was a long ways, but he goes, shoop, and he tossed that paper. And as fate would have it, it clicked the top of that fence. And it just fell. And the boy goes, dog! And Faraday just watched him. He said, I wonder what he's going to do now. Is he going to go through the gate, pick up the paper, and put it in the right place? The boy didn't even want to open the gate. He reaches in through the fence, and he got his head in there, and he just barely could get it. And he was touching that paper, but he couldn't grip it. And Michael Faraday, in all of his wisdom, wrote something down that day. It must be miserable to be on both sides of the fence. Okay? The boy really wanted the paper on the porch, but now he's stuck in the midst of it, and he couldn't even get his body out. Okay? And the scientist just said, wow, it must be miserable to be on both sides of the fence. And guess what? I've done it. It is. That's a miserable place. If you're watching today online, if you're listening, if that's where you are, God's speaking to you today. It is a bad place to be on both sides of the fence. Don't call yourself a believer. Don't name yourself a Christian and not live out God's principles. You're fooling yourself, but you're not fooling God. Okay? And so he says, listen to what he says here. He's talking to us. I said a moment ago, God is speaking to us. He said, I called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Verse 10, once you were a people, you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, verse 11, I urge you, he's begging here, as foreigners and exiles, do what? Abstain from sinful desires, comma, here's a comma statement, which wage war against your soul. Did you catch that? Abstain from those desires, those things that tempt you, those things that the enemy has consistently laid in front. Abstain from those things because they wage war against your soul. Question, what is your soul? Well, your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. Amen? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. God is speaking to our hearts today. Some of us are struggling with this declaration Jesus declared of you. He said, listen, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. You're the city on the hill. And sometimes as believers, we don't feel like the light of the world, the city on the hill, and the salt of the earth. We don't feel like it because our walk is tarnished. We're not living out the gospel, and we know we're not, and it causes us to feel a sense of misery. Jesus declared this of you. Some of us struggle with that declaration because we don't feel chosen, we don't feel royal, we don't feel holy, and we sure don't feel special because we know we're not getting it right. We don't feel like our lives measure up. We don't meet the spiritual quota. Look at verse 9. He brought you out, but you're still in. He brought you out. But you know that in some ways you're still in. Can I just be honest with you? You're going to struggle with that most of your life. And I say most because as you mature, you're going to start to change your priorities. You're going to start to align things differently in the grand scheme of things relative to your life. How do you know that, Pastor? From experience, okay? From experience. Experience is a great teacher, okay? You mature through the years, not through weeks and months. You mature through the years. Verse 11, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners, exiles, abstain from sinful desires. They wage war against your soul, that mind, that will, those emotions. Paul dealt with this thing too. We call it spiritual warfare. First message I preached here 31 years ago, I'll never forget it. I came here to preach to 10 people 31 years ago. And the passage that I chose to preach that day on a Sunday was Romans 6. Romans 6. I thought about this as I was fashioning this message this week as the Lord was speaking to me. I thought, wow, 31 years ago I preached that. He says in chapter 6, 11 to 14, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin. Paul's talking to who? He's talking to the church. He says, I want you to count yourself dead to sin, but what? But alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, verse 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey those evil desires. Are you going to have desires? Absolutely. But you don't have to obey them. And verse 13, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who've been brought from death to life. There we go with the church again. Offer yourselves to God as though you've been brought from death to life. I just joined the 360 man movement at the men's meeting the other day. And I love this coin. It's got on the coin, it's got several words. It's got an identity. It's got relationships. It's got vision and purpose. Identity, relation, vision, and purpose. And the challenge is, it's a challenge coin, is to carry this in your pocket all the time as a consistent reminder that God has called you to this. This is the same thing the Bible's saying here. You got to be understanding that sin doesn't have dominion over you. You know, I read an article this past week. It was an interesting article. It said, whatever happened to WWJD? Remember when the bracelets came out many years ago? Whatever happened to that? Nobody says anything about it anymore. WWJD. Whatever happened to that? Well, really, whatever happened to that? What would Jesus do? It's a beck and call to remind yourself that the Holy Spirit is speaking. You can do it any kind of way, okay? That the Holy Spirit has reminded you here to make that you made a declaration that you're called out of darkness into the light. Verse 14, for sin shall no longer be your master, he says, because you're not under the law, but you're under grace. So you don't allow sin to be your master. Ephesians 2, 8 and 10. For it is by grace you've been what? Saved. You've been saved by grace. And this is an important principle that's going to come out of this. I don't want you to miss it. You've been saved by grace through faith, and you didn't do anything for this. This is not of you, but it is the what? The gift of God. Verse 9, he tells you again, it's a repetitive thing here. Not by works that you can brag about. Not by works that you can boast about. For verse 10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus. God created you, God created me in advance for us to do what? To do righteous things. To be the salt, to be the light, to shine the light, to do kind things. God created us to be His presence on this earth. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, patience, kindness, goodness. He created us to house that. Amen? And some of us are struggling. In fact, some of us are missing the mark. I'm glad to use that as an illustration because you know what that is? That's the definition of sin. I'm not talking about Webster's definition. I'm talking about if you study the Bible. You can't use a dictionary to study the Bible. Call me before you call Webster. Like my wife said, use Google, man. Look it up. What's the Greek word for? Just do that. Because you got it in your hand. But sin, the definition of sin, the Bible uses an analogy of an archer. You might know what an archer is. He pulls back the bow. He has an arrow in his hand and he releases it, but oh man, I hit the wrong target. I didn't mean to kill that squirrel. I was just practicing. I was going to hit the limb, but I hit the squirrel. That's exactly what sin is. Hear me, friends. Sin is pulling back. This is life. I'm going to live. I'm going to go to work. And I'm going to live my day, but I release the arrow of my life, but I'm hitting the wrong target. The word in the original language is hamartia. Hamartia. You say, where'd you get this, Pastor? I study. Study to show yourself approved and not be ashamed. You study the Bible. Hamartia means missing the mark, but not only just missing the mark, you hit the wrong target. That's sin. And it's so easy to do. And some of us in this room today, some of us online may be struggling. Maybe you feel like, man, he's reading my mail today. Because you know what? I know I'm here, I'm in the building, but I don't feel worthy. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. I call it one-eyed John. He has three eyes, 1, 2, and 3. One-eyed John, chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. My dear children. Who's he writing to? The church. I write this to you so you won't sin. The father says, I want to send a message to my kids. I'm writing to you today because I don't want you to sin. Now, are you capable of sinning? Absolutely. Because you have evil desires? Absolutely. But he says, I write this to you so you won't. But if you do, guess what? People will. He says, but if you do, then you have what? We have an advocate. Okay, who's the advocate? There we go. The advocate is Jesus, who died on the cross. And he said, I died for you. I give you grace. I call you saved when you don't even act like it. Okay, I declare you righteous when you're not. Because of my blood, because I gave my blood for you. And his righteousness is imputed onto you. And now you get credit for being something you're really not. That's grace. That's just grace, man. That's grace. But he says, this is what I do. I write you because I want to let you know you have an advocate. It's Jesus Christ. He's going to the Father on your behalf because he is the righteous one. He is, verse 2, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. So that relieves you. That relieves me. Just got a get out of jail free card. Come on. All right? Get out of jail free card. But let me help some of you here. It's a get out of jail free card. You can come back to him, okay? But I reach into my wallet here and I pull out a card that probably most of you in this room have. It's a license. Let me see. What is the first thing the lawman does when he pulls you? Hey, license and registration. This is a license that says you can drive. So what Paul is saying to us in chapter 6 of Romans is, don't use this grace. And one songwriter said it's what? Amazing. You don't use it as a license for sin. Like, well, you know I screwed up, but hey, thank God for grace. No, you listen, you have grace, but don't just live your life pulling the grace card. Paul dealt with that. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. What shall we say then? Paul says, hey, if you're talking about grace, what shall I say then? Shall I just go on sinning and just call for grace? Hey, grace card. No. He says, by no means. One translation says, God forbid. I think the King James says, God forbid. No, you don't pull the grace card and just lifestyle you've chosen. By no means. We are those who have what? Died to sin. And how can we live in it any longer? Okay? So you made the conscious, willful decision to give your life to Christ. What you're saying is, I receive his grace, but he doesn't want you to receive that grace and then turn around and abuse it. There's an old Southern gospel song many, many years ago. Does he still feel the nails every time I fail? In other words, every time you fail, there's a big clash of the hammer. Does he still feel that when I fail? Because you're abusing his grace. No, you don't want to abuse that. You don't want to abuse that. So what do you do? You take authority over sin. You take authority. You don't live any longer in it. You take authority over it. It does not have dominion over you. We crucify it. We do the same thing to it that they did to Jesus. We put it to death, Romans 8:13. For if you live according to the flesh, then you'll die. But if by the Spirit, somebody say by the Spirit. But if by the Spirit you put to death, listen to these words, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, what will happen? You will live. Man, if you get authority over this thing that you have a weakness in, maybe you're sitting here this morning or listening online, maybe you say, you know what, man, I'm good except just that one thing. You ever said that? Like, man, I do good, Pastor, but man, I just cuss a lot, okay? I just cuss a lot. If I could just clean that up. You know, I don't care what it is. If you have a heart's desire to get that right, God wants to help you get that right. He does. And he says, listen, this is what you need to do. You need to mortify the deeds of the flesh. The translation of that is, put them to death. How? Through Christ who lives in you. Paul said it earlier. How do you do it? By the Spirit. I had you repeat those words. Say this with me. By the Spirit. That's why. Because I want it to get into your mind and in your spirit. How do you live a victorious life? By the Spirit. Okay? You really need the Spirit of God alive in you. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15:31. He said, I die daily. I die a death to my own desires. I die a death to my own flesh. And what is that? That's consecration. That's consecration. That's exactly what that is. It's a concept based on the Old Testament. Joshua was leading the children of Israel. He came after who? Moses. He's leading God's children. He's preparing them to enter the promised land. He's leading them to cross the Jordan into the land of promise, the land flowing with milk and honey. And if you go to Israel, sometimes you'll understand what milk and honey is. Milk is a tremendous amount of goats over there, okay? A lot of goats. And honey, everywhere you look, there's date palm trees. It's a land that flourishes with abundance of animals and abundance of date palm trees. And they make honey out of dates. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And Joshua says to them in Joshua chapter 3, verse number 5, look at what he says to them. Listen, man, we're here. We're right here at it. But I'm telling you, consecrate yourselves. For tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among you. You need to be consecrated. Why was he telling them this? Because listen, God said he was going to give them a land flowing milk and honey, remember? He said the land of the Hittites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, all of those other Perizzites. He said, I'm giving you the land, but it's inhabited. It's inhabited by people who worship pagan gods. So I'm giving you all of this, but you have to drive out the inhabitants, okay? So he says, what I want you to do is I want you to consecrate yourself. I want you to purify yourself. I want you to bring yourself into a right position with God, with Yahweh. Prepare yourself, because tomorrow God's going to do incredible things. The word in the Hebrew, now if we go back to the Old Testament, we don't use Greek, we use Hebrew. The word in the Old Testament is kadosh. Q-A-D-A-S-H, kadosh. It means to consecrate. It's used over 150 times in the Bible. It simply means this, to set yourself apart, to be dedicated and devoted, to keep yourself separate, to be sacred, to be hallowed, to be prepared. Ceremonially, they did this by washing. Isn't it interesting that in the New Testament, to show what has happened in our life, we use water baptism. We wash. Water don't clean you, just says you've been cleaned. Okay? It's just an outward sign of an inward change. Ceremonially, they would wash. They were to wash their bodies, And if you've been to Israel, you've been to so many ceremony ritual baths. You've seen so many places in the ground. Oh, this was a ritual wash bath. This was a washing area. Because washing was important. They washed themselves up, and they made sure they had new threads on. Keep yourselves clean, okay? Consecrate yourself for what? For tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things. So the insinuation here is the longer that you and I walk in a wholeness with God, the more incredible things God will do in your life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Get it right, and God will make sure it's always right. Get it right. God is calling for consecration on the church. Consecration is like a key. It opens the door of revival. Many are experiencing revival right now. Did you know that? You don't have to just do anything but pull out your phone. And every time you look at your phone this week on social media, it's the Asbury revival. It's a revival. The TikTok videos are just booming with TikTok renewal, revival, Asbury. Everybody's seeing Asbury. Revival is everywhere. And I can safely say that you and I, right here in this church, for week after week after week, you're worshiping, you're coming to the altar without having to be begged. When the altar service starts, you come right out, get out of your seat, and you come and stand in his presence. Why? Because we see hunger in this house. And when you see hunger in this house, hearts will be filled. People's lives will be changed. It's a wonderful thing not to have to beg people to seek God. That's what revival is. It's a renewed faith. It's I've come to life. I want more from God. Right now in this nation, this new benchmark is being set. Revival broke out over a week ago. I listened to the sermon. Just a simple message from a young man that his video has gone viral. This is the message that brought the revival. It was just a simple devotion. But what happened at the end of the devotion was most of the people got up and left, but about 20 stayed. And they just started worshiping and laying hands on each other, young people. And they gathered around the altar. And yesterday, they had 15,000 people at Asbury College yesterday. 15,000. They use four buildings, and they've got big screens, like these big mega screens out on the lawn, and people are standing outside in the cold weather to stand in God's presence. God is manifesting revival, and guess what else? It's happened all over the U.S. and in other nations. Uganda is ablaze with the fire of Pentecost. The Philippines are ablaze with the fire of God's presence, baptizing people one right behind another. The power of God, the Spirit of God, is sweeping the earth like we haven't seen it in our day. God's moving in revival. Revival broke out in this college campus. And it broke out in Lee University and Cedarville University in Ohio. Those are Methodist, Pentecostals, and Baptist churches, respectively, where the power of God. I looked at a Baptist revival the other night, man, 2,000 people in one room, 1 o'clock in the morning, just worshiping God. That's revival. God's moving. Students' lives are what? Consecrated. Their lives are set apart. They're hallowed. That's what consecration is. And you know what? Consecration doesn't have an age on it. Just this past week, I was doing a taping for my podcast. And I was taping with the gentleman on the far right, and we went out to eat afterwards. After we taped and for the podcast, I said, "Hey, man, you want to do some lunch?" He said, "Sure." So we were very limited on money. A lot of restaurants are closed. So we drove over to Hertford, and we sat down in Captain Bob's Barbecue. And we were just sitting there talking and eating chicken. That's how you know you're called by God. You sit there and eat chicken. Okay. We were just sitting there eating chicken and talking about the move of God. So, man, he says, "Man, what's happening in your church?" I said, "Bro, I'm telling you, man, week after week, it's like layer after layer after layer. Our people are hungry. I said, they worship God. They come to the altar. People are getting saved. We've had salvations in this church every week. We've had people getting healed service after service. Why? Because God is moving. But I said, man, think about Asbury. Look at what's happening at Asbury. Look at what God is doing in the earth from a church that historically has been used before. God had a powerful move of the Holy Spirit that started in Asbury back in 1970. We're sitting there talking about it, man, just lavishing in God's presence. And this lady right here walks up to us, the lady to your right. She walks up to our table. She said, I'm 93 years old. And tears began to come down her face. And she said, my name is Camille Winslow, and this is Billy Ann Winslow. And she said, we are just so touched as we're sitting here talking to you guys or listening to you guys talk about revival. And she just cried. She said, can we pray for you? I was like, Lord, what are you doing? Lord, can you pray? I was about to ask you. I said, you know what? Because, listen, I see the anointing of the Holy Spirit all over you, lady. Would you pray for me? She said, I sure would. And she started praying. I pulled out my phone, and I just hit the video, and I hit record. And I laid the phone down there, and I listened to this woman touch the throne of God for us. And she stopped, and she said, listen, have you heard about Asbury? I'm sure you have since you were talking about it. I said, yeah. She said, do you know that many, many years ago, I used to be the secretary at that campus? And she said, I have followed Asbury for many, many years. And she said, if you don't mind, if you give me your address, I want to send you some books on revival. I want to send you the story of Francis Asbury. I'll mail it to you. I was like, man, this is incredible. And we fellowshipped, and I said, hey, can I take a picture of you? And we just stood there and got somebody to take a picture of us. A blessed moment locked in the annals of God's will for our lives at a restaurant on a Monday. God says, I just want to send you a blessing. I'll send you the Winslow girls, okay? And the Winslow girls stood and prayed with us and spoke the word of God over us and prayed that revival would continue in our churches and in our hearts. So I thank God for these dear saints. Historically, we were trying to find out, hey, who are you? And I said, oh, I used to hunt on your, you know, Mr. Henry Winslow? She said, oh, he was my husband. I said, man, I used to goose hunt on his property. You did? Yeah. I said, I did. I said, I hunted too much, really. She said, what do you mean? I said, I killed more than I was supposed to, you know? I said, but I wasn't serving the Lord then. You could kill one goose in those days. I killed 13. Yeah. We talked about Tanglewood Farms. We talked about the Methodist Church. We talked about all of the good things that God has done all these years. And a divine appointment set up with two ladies who were listening to each other, but also listening to us. Can I just tell you something? When you go somewhere and when you're sitting down at lunch, you can talk about more than the stresses you're going through, and you can talk about the goodness of God. And I promise you, God will take those words and he will use them in some way, shape, fashion, or form. God is speaking to us today. If you're listening online, God is speaking to our hearts today. He's calling us to a deep place of consecration. He's calling us to make room for him, to make room for his spirit in our lives. That's what he wants. That's what he desperately wants. I told you earlier in the message, I know what it's like to be flesh and spirit and flesh and spirit and back and forth and both sides. I know what that's like. It's not a nice place because you live half your existence with a message of, are y'all hearing me today? With a message of conviction, Wallace, you know you need to get this right. And today we have created so many ways that make it so easy to sin. It's all right in our hands. We can do all kinds of things right here. All kinds of things. It takes the presence of God because you've consecrated yourself. It takes the presence of God, the Spirit of God, alive and living in your life, in your heart, in your soul, to be able to walk out this walk and celebrate win after win after win. Are you going to make a mistake? Well, absolutely. You probably will. But when you do, you have an advocate, Jesus Christ, the Holy One. Would you stand to your feet this morning? If you're watching online, would you just stand right in your home, or come on, just participate with us. I'm going to ask you this morning, I'm not asking you, hey, if you did something incredibly crazy this week and you just need forgiveness, raise your hand. No. I'm just going to ask you this morning, would you just join us at this altar? As many of you that would, and would you find yourself a place just to turn around, maybe in the steps here, or put your knees on the floor, or maybe you can just want to stand, but would you find yourself a place and just say to yourself, I'm just going to make an effort to consecrate. Next week, I'm going to continue this message, and I'm going to show you in the Word of God, step by step, means of deeper consecration to the things of God. If you want the Lord to do something in your life that far surpasses what you've been experiencing, would you just begin to call on Him? Come on. Just begin to call on Him. You might just want to turn around where you are in the pews. Maybe you can't get to the altar this morning. Would you just want to turn around right where you are and make your pew a place of sacrifice? Make your pew a place of consecration and ask God just begin to move in your life. Make room for Him. Make room for Him. Come on, worship together with us today as we begin this thing. Come on, worship together. Repent. God's calling for repentance. God's calling for restoration. God's calling for renewal. God's calling to make room. He wants you to make room for Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You ministers, if you would, just move around and just begin to pray with people. Would you do that? Just move around. Those of you on the prayer team, just move around. Lay your hands on individuals. Hallelujah. Wash me, Lord. Wash me, Lord. Cleanse me, Lord. Consecrate me, Lord. Hallelujah. Consecrate me, Lord. Hallelujah.
To do whatever you want to.
Cleanse me, Lord.
To do cleanse whatever me, Lord. You want to. The devil make room for you. To do whatever you want to. To do whatever.
Give the Lord a praise today, would you? Come on, give Him praise. Listen, I would encourage you today. I would encourage you in your own private time with God, in your own moments of just you and the Lord. Just begin to talk to Him. You know the things, God, this is what I give you. You don't need me, or you don't need the next person saying, hey, you really need to get a hold of this or that or the other thing. You need the Holy Spirit when He lays His finger on certain things. You just say, yes, Lord. God, I give this to you. I give this to you. And also, you may be here today and you may be saying, you know what? Man, I just struggle with this, whatever this is. I promise you, if you will ask the Lord, God, help me. Help me with this. I don't want this in my life. I don't want this. I don't want this struggle. I don't want this influence. I don't want this thing. And I promise you, the Lord will meet you there. He will. Consecrate me, Lord. Consecrate me, wash me, cleanse me. I give myself to you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise, would you? One more time. You can be seated. Roger, would you join me on the platform here? As Roger's coming, let me remind you today that this coming Saturday, we have in North Carolina what is called an equip tour. Equip means to nurture you, to prepare you, to equip you. We have an equip tour that's coming up in Rocky Mount, and it's free. It's free to whoever wants, any leaders of the church, any volunteers. It's a time of refreshing, a time of coming together with other leaders from other churches and just worshiping together, doing some breakout sessions, choosing some of the things that you want to sit and listen to. And I think it's like 8:30 in the morning until like 3 in the afternoon. And it's at Rise Church in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. And it's no cost to us. I just have to register people because they need to know how many Chick-fil-A sandwiches they need to get a hold of, okay? So there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. And if you would just sign up, hey, I'd like to come, and just show up there at Rise Church, Rocky Mountain. It's over by Wesleyan College, and at 8:30 on Saturday morning. It'll be an awesome time together. They do an incredible job of inspiring and nurturing God's people. I'll let you peek into a window this morning, one of our own, Roger. Who would have ever thought that in the later years, how old are you, Roger, 80? 80 years old in May. Hearing God say, I want you to go to the Philippines. And so the Assemblies of God have linked him up with leadership there. And he's going to be embarking on his second mission trip. He went to build the church with Joel and Pastor Mike. And God touched his heart for mission. And he's right here among us. So we're going to give you an opportunity today to be a blessing to him and his Philippine mission coming up in just a few weeks.
God is so good to all of us. Just unimaginable. We have a house with a roof over our head. We don't get rained on. We have a car out here in the parking lot. We have food on the table when we go home. But these children behind me here, they don't have that. And these four boys are part of 75,000 street children in Manila alone. And Manila is the capital of the Philippines. And in that one city, there's 75,000 kids living on the street. All you mothers and fathers, grandparents, great-grandparents, is that your children? Is that what our children looks like living on the street? It makes my heart bleed to see this. I couldn't even believe it. It had to be a mistake. 75,000. Was it 7,500? No, it was 75,000. They do have orphanages. The orphanages take in the young ones, the little toddlers. But the 8 years old, the 15 years old, fend for themselves. They dig through garbage cans. If it's raining, they find a piece of cardboard to put over their head. Dawn and I formed a nonprofit so that we could better figure out how to help these kids. And once we figure that out, how we can get all churches to partner with us, not just the Assembly of God, the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, I don't care what it is. But we need their help so that we can help the churches in the Philippines. On the 15th of March, I'll be going to the Philippines for 3 weeks. Mostly meetings, figuring out how we can partner with each other and make this work. But at the same time, I want to talk to these kids. I want to tell them about the love of Jesus. I want to help them understand and feed them. I know it's a small portion that I can feed on this trip. But I want to come home and I want to partner with you people. I want to partner with everybody that I can get my hands on to feed these children and to clothe these children. And today I need your help. I need your help bad. I need you to partner with me. I've got cards out in Narthex to where you can pledge any amount you want. I don't care if it's $5, any amount you want, because it'll help feed those kids. It'll feed one kid one time. I just want to let you understand, you know, what it's like. I couldn't believe it. I started out, I was going to go to the Philippines and street preach. I told Mike, I want to go to the Philippines and street preach. And all of a sudden, God laid it on me to feed these kids. And I'm like, what kids? Evidently, Philippine kids. So I started studying, and this is what I found. So God bless all of you. And let's work together and take care of this situation. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Roger. Thank you, Lord, that you still speak to people's hearts and lives. Almost 80 years old, and Roger's convinced that God wants to use him to touch these kids in the Philippines. We are excited that he will be connected to an Assemblies of God team leader when he gets there. And the soil for him won't be strange. We'll have some partnership on that other side. And he has gone about this in the most organized fashion. Pastor Mike and I met this past week. He said, man, he's ready. He's got his stuff in order. He you know, he's accountable for what's going on, and he's ready to go. So if you'd like to contribute, or if you'd want to pick up one of his cards and say, hey, Roger, I'll stand with you. You heard what he said. Doesn't matter if it's $5 a month. I just need people to partner with me. So it's not just this trip. It's for the future to touch a segment of people there in Manila. So, Father, in Jesus' name, as you your people respond, Lord, thank you for missions that continues to flow from this church, Lord, from your heart, the heart of God's people. I bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to give, Rodney's coming to bless us in a song as we go out today. So welcome him as he comes, and if you'd like to give while he's singing, just come and place your offering in the bucket. Go by the table and see Roger in the foyer today if you'd like to have one of his cards. God bless you all. Welcome, Rodney, would you?
God bless you. Just want to share a little bit with you. May your struggles keep you near the cross. May your troubles show that you need God. May your battles end the way they should. May your bad days prove that God is good. And may your whole life prove that God is. May your struggles keep you near the cross, and may your troubles show that you need God. May your God is good, and may your whole life prove that God is good. I like that. Oh, may your bad days prove that God is. Oh, may your whole life. God bless you. God bless you.
Come on, stand together with you. God bless you as you go today. Bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you. See Roger's table in the foyer. Pick up one of his cards if you would. We appreciate it. You guys have an incredible, incredible Sunday. God bless you.